Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. You can listen to our sermons, interviews, and Pastor Pod on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcast platforms. Our worship times are on Sundays at 9 and 10:45 a.m. Our summer worship time will be at 10 a.m. starting on May 26th. Welcome to Pastor Pod, our first in a series of podcasts when Pastor Russ and I get together to give our best answers to your questions about the Bible, theology, and life. Please enjoy. Welcome, everybody, to episode one of Pastor Pod. We wanted to start kind of conversations together and for answering questions from you all. We just did a Quiz the Pastors Sunday, and you all had a lot of questions, and we didn't get through all of them. And we thought this would be a good way to kind of read through a couple more. And we just think this is an important piece of faith. And there's a quote from Abraham Heschel, right?
Abraham Heschel, yeah. Yeah, it was a wonderful quote, a couple of his, and he was one of those, you know, just amazing theologians of the 20th century. And one of his quotes that's always resonated with me is that we are closer to God with our questions than when we think we have all the answers. And the second one was that we worship God with our questions. In other words, we take God seriously when we question, when we're looking for pat answers, when we're looking for the easy things that seem to answer all the questions and doubts. We're really looking for certainty. We're not looking for God. So to come with our questions is a way to come honestly, openly, and to know that we are part of a larger conversation of people who've wondered about God since people have been wondering. And so we get to be a part of that, and that's where we find ourselves closer to God.
All right. So let's let's just get into it. Does that sound good? Do you have anything else you want to add? We can get into some of the questions. We'll still do the 2-minute timer for each one.
So we that was fun. Yeah, and so just the spirit of this is it's not because we have all the answers. As we are people who wrestle with these things, and we offer this in the light of furthering that conversation. And we hope that more questions come for those who are listening and back to us. And this is just one way to keep that conversation going.
All right. So we got a stack
here. You got a big stack of them there. And
do you want me to just
pick one at random? That's kind of sort of in the light of Sunday morning when we did this. People brought their cards, dropped them in the receptacle, and then we kind of sorted them out, and we each took 2 minutes to answer, and then a little bit of time for rebuttal and all of that. So you've got one, and let's dig in.
All right. So this first one I just pulled randomly said, if forgiveness is not the same as excusing or reconciliation, what is it? How do I show it or know it? If I can't condone the behavior, what does forgiveness look like? Mm. So 3 questions on 1 card.
Yeah, having to do with forgiveness and it's what a complex and core thing to face. I mean, it, probably the one thing that Jesus keeps saying again and again is if you want to get close to who God is and what he's all about, then you better understand and get good at forgiving. Anyone who's lived long enough, you better get good at forgiving and being forgiven. So let's tackle that one. Do we have the 2-minute timer going yet?
Oh, you want to go? All right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Let's see. All right. 2 minutes, go.
2 minutes and go. So yeah, forgiveness in my mind, and this is how I deal with it, forgiveness is absolutely critical, but it is different than reconciliation. Reconciliation is what you do when you want to mend the relationship. And that really does mean it needs to involve the perpetrator, the one who has committed the offense. Forgiveness is really a way of the person who has been affected, victimized, if you will, to move on with their life in such a way that they don't become imprisoned by that act or that person. So forgiveness can and sometimes has to be done one way. And the meaning in forgiveness, the picture of forgiveness is to set aside. It means there is this thing that is between us. And when I forgive, it means that I am setting that aside. So that's not going to get in the way of me doing what I need to do with you. I will still love you. I will still respect you. Doesn't mean we'll exchange Christmas cards but we will at least be, I will at least do the things so that that doesn't become the thing that imprisons me. I will not be held hostage by it. So it is a very proactive, in some ways a very selfish act to do, because it liberates the person who has been effective and it gives them a way of doing that. Just as we are told that God does that for us. Long before we ever want to reconcile with God, God has the door open. God loves and cares for us. And if we want to align ourselves with God, then that's how we do that. And that's how it strikes me. What strikes you on that?
I think to have a God who forgives us and loves us unconditionally and calls us to do the same, that I think that's sometimes a high bar to set.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And that can be really hard. And I think what you said is right. You can forgive without having to be friends. You can forgive and you're not excusing. Oh, there goes the...
We're in the rebuttal stage. So we give ourselves some grace.
No, I forgot.
Well, to your point, and then you can forgive without the other person asking for forgiveness, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, people have had to do that. That sometimes the person who has done something is either completely out of the picture, they've died sometimes, or they have absolutely no desire to reconcile, and they're okay with what they did, or they're completely unconscious of what they did. So again, forgiveness is a very self-liberating act that frees us to do what we want and need to do. Again, it takes the offense seriously. It's definitely not excusing. Mm-hmm. You're forgiving because you can't excuse. It's not just a matter of getting over it. It's taking seriously what was done and then saying, and I will not let that stop me from doing what I need to do in terms of loving, respecting, caring.
And it's not... Reconciliation is being able to both parties come together and reconcile the differences. But forgiveness can just be done one way.
Yep.
You know, one person can forgive, and it
often is.
It's one of those things where it is more for you, because how does it feel to walk around with all that resentment and hurt and anger in your heart all the time?
Yeah.
That forgiveness actually helps alleviate that.
Yeah. I love it when Nelson Mandela, I think it was, when he said, when he was getting out of that prison, Robben Island in South Africa, and he realized that as he was leaving that prison, that he needed to do some inner work. It wasn't just the iron door that was keeping him in. He needed to forgive, otherwise he would still be a prisoner for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. And so it was a way of completing the liberation of all the people who had done things to him, and we're all in that line.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, let's keep going. We got time for one more. And then it has to do with, I think it's somewhat similar. So it has to do with forgiveness in some ways, because it says, please explain the difference between the wrath of God in the Old Testament, allowing people to be cursed and all, and the love of God in the New Testament. So this is a big question. We get this one a lot. It's like there's this supposedly this God of the Old Testament, this God of the New Testament. How do you reconcile? It seems to be different. So what do you do with that one?
Yeah.
Do you want to start the timer?
Yeah, let's start the timer. All right. So I think that scripture, if you look at it closely, if you look at the kind of the threads in the narrative of it, is that oftentimes God of the Old Testament isn't necessarily God that's doing a lot of stuff, but it's the humans. And they're acting out on part of God. And I think sometimes, it says that God called them to do this, but I think the Old Testament is all about the relationship between humans and God and trying to figure out what that is. And humans want one thing and God wants another, and God's constantly meeting us where we're at and to bring us forward into a new reality, to the kingdom of God. And I think when you look at it as a larger narrative than just like looking at just the Old Testament and then just the New Testament, but if you look at it as a whole and see the story thread that goes throughout, I think it changes kind of how we see God and what God is doing. That God isn't just suddenly changing in the middle of the book, but that God has been there all along, and you've seen how God has kind of walked alongside humans.
That makes good sense to me, because it seems to me when Jesus says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father, the way we understand God from then on and from then back has to do with through the lens of Jesus. Jesus is the one who is the filter through which we understand God. And if we understand part of the New Testament, whether it's in John 1, Ephesians 1, Colossians 1, Jesus, Christ was, not Jesus, the human, but Christ was there from the beginning as well. So in a sense, God has always been the forgiving one, mm-hmm. but people's perception of God is very yes. different. I believe people thought God was telling them to slaughter the innocents. I think people perceived that God was doing that. But on this side of it, when we view God through Christ, then we realize, no, that was their perceptions, because God has always been the one who was creating, sustaining, redeeming, delivering, and that's always been the heart of God, regardless of how people saw that or perceived it in the moment. And I think it also means, even more radically than how we view each other today, and what is, you know, is an earthquake God's retribution, or is God doing this? And we would adamantly say, no, of course not. Because why? Because that's not how we see God through Christ. That is the lens through which, from now on, everything we know about God comes through the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the killing of innocent people is a good example, because I think the perception of the Israelites at that time was, we are the people of God, we are the chosen people, and therefore the righteous people, right? Mm-hmm. And so everyone else is not right. And but God was, that wasn't the heart of God. It was like, you are chosen to be the light to the world, to let people know what this kingdom of God looks like.
Yeah, I think that's also how we understand a lot of the things that are tough. I think people were limited in their understanding of what they could, and so they perceived what God was saying through the limitations of their own language, their own culture, their own fears. So for the same reason, I would say that I think they got it wrong when they thought God said to go and slaughter people. Same reason I think they got it wrong when they somehow sensed that God was endorsing slavery. Or any of the other things that today we would be offended by. I think we should be offended by, even as people 100 years from now will probably be offended by some of the things that we did not see because of our own limitations, but by the grace of God, because we see Christ clearer and clearer, apart from different cultural fears and anxieties and tribalism, that they will see much better. And I think, again, that's why we just have to keep going back to who Christ is. Because when we're looking at Christ, that is the best representation we're ever going to get of who God is and what God is about.
I don't think 100 years from now people will think we did horrible things. We're at the pinnacle of everything right now. We know what we're doing.
We have arrived.
It's only downhill
right.
from here. Well, if any of you that are listening to this, if you have questions of your own, or if you want to follow up on one of these questions that you want some things clarified, you can send the questions to jordan@newhopepres.org. So that's jordan@newhopepres.org. And we will see you guys next time. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review us on iTunes. You can also check out more about New Hope at newhopepres.org, and we will see you next time.